CliffCentral.com.
Tuesday morning, CliffCentral.com, and the Gin Blossoms from, what is it, the late 90s, and till I hear it from you. Pumelele Mashiko is with us, Mbulelo Tinta and Sia Sangweni, and of course you. And we'll be joined in a short while by the guy who, I love this dude, because he went and took on government and their COVID-19 regulations, and he actually got the judge, not just him, but his network, the president of the Liberty Fighters Network. He got the judge to declare unconstitutional and irregular the regulations that were brought in by the NCCC. And, of course, Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma is still fighting with him. We should have some clarity on that this week. I'll find out from Reino De Beer, who is the president of the Liberty Fighters Network, and you will be witness to that at 7:30 this morning. Much to get to today, cliffcentral.com, on the chilliest of Tuesday mornings. We still have lots of winter to get through. Here are a few comments. Some people talking about the Gigabas still. Vinny saying, Norma Gigaba should just take Gwede Mantashe. He was a catch a few months ago.
But he's sick, guys.
Yeah, he's better now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's better. He's out of hospital.
Shame. I'm so happy for him.
Yeah, I don't wish anyone, no matter how much I don't like someone politically, I don't ever wish for them to have, you know, diseases and to die and stuff like that.
Mm. People were so nasty about
so
it.
So nasty.
I did feel our collective humanity seeping away in those moments.
You know, just because you don't agree with someone or you don't like their stance on something, even if it's people who've ripped off the state to the tune of billions. Like, I don't go around wishing ill on the Guptas. I just want them brought to justice. I don't want to see horrible things happen to them, you know?
Mm.
I don't understand why people are so cruel. And they are. People have got this very mean streak that somehow they think they'll feel better if evil befalls the other people.
Guys, you know, there are so many things happening. And like the Digos, for instance. And I know Mbulelo laughed so hard at me last week when I said to him that Digo guy is just brought poor Kusela into disrepute.
Yes, you mean the king.
Yeah, the who? Say again, Gareth. There.
He's the king.
Really?
Well, that's what he says.
Really, Gareth?
He says
really,
he's a king.
Gareth? Because you see what happens. He was flying nicely under the radar. People, no one was questioning who the hell he is,
yeah,
where he got his title from, whatever. And now, because of greed and PPE, everybody's asking him, who the hell died and made you king?
And he's not
literally.
King of what tribe? No, really. People have come out, Xhosa historians, Zulu historians.
And they've said you're making it up.
Even people who themselves are Amabhaca, you know?
Yeah.
Have come to say, we don't know this guy. Nor do we recognize him as some kind. Well.
So he's no king, maybe. Interesting. See, as you say,
all
Pumi,
because of
it's greed. That's what it is. Greed is the motivation here. Interesting. So a couple of messages that we've got here this morning. Lol, Mbulelo is referring to the hockey club golfers. Word on the street is they make their side pieces sign NDAs. That's from Lindy. Ah, Mbulelo, you want to comment on that?
I do. By the way, there's a whole world to that NDA side. There's also permission videos, which I don't know if you're aware of this.
What are permission videos?
Ah, okay. It is my absolute pleasure.
Yes,
because, and this is more, so a former football friend of mine introduced me to this. It's when you make the girl on video before you come in, right? So with footballers, how they do it.
Come in how? Sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry.
You know, the son of a pastor.
Yeah.
The son of a pastor. What is this? You know, the fabric of our society is tearing apart in front of me.
I'll go on mute now, as you were.
But anyway, so what they do is, so how the footballers do it, I may or may not know because I was part of it or not. We can't confirm, but is you leave yourself in at the door if you're a girl, right? That's how they do it. So that was the old way, and then you sign at the door, blah, blah. You got a guy to kind of take care of that. Mm-hmm. But now what they do is before they engage in whatever you want to call it with a lady is you take a video of her saying, I consent to coitus with this gentleman. Mm. And that's a more subtle way because I've seen some of the videos that the girls say. But yeah, so those are real things. And that's part of the permission space, if you will. So I'm not sure if people were aware of that as well as signing NDAs. The NDA thing's an old thing. That was happening in 04, 05 when I was in that world in the UK. NDAs, no, that's old. We do permission videos now.
Yeah, because like, you know, with the social media world and the kind of things that happen to people, you do need some kind of backup, right? Never mind the fact that what you also need is you need continuous consent. You know about that concept, yeah, right?
That's where if you change your mind halfway through.
Just because I said yes
at the beginning,
at the door,
yeah,
doesn't mean you're allowed to pee on me.
Oh, that escalated.
Yeah, Pumi's right. She's
escalated.
She's talking about, and this really has, it started in colleges in the United States, where you have to obtain this continuous consent. Now that, you know, Mbulelo has explained these consent videos, that does make some sense. It's really going to put a massive damper on all kinds of relationships. But for some guys, this is their insurance.
How does continuous consent roll out practically? Do I have to ask you for consent
and
if I do something differently?
Are you okay with this?
Do you like this? Are you into that?
Are you okay with this? And if you hear a no at any time, at any interval, no is a complete sentence. It does not need to be justified by anything else. No is enough.
I have a solution for this. We should bring a sports approach. Bring a referee into that situation to call, because sometimes a no in the heat of the moment.
No.
Okay, I thought we were brainstorming.
No.
And you know, when you brainstorm, they say there's no bad idea. Well,
sure.
Right there is a bad idea.
What? You're going to have six umpires?
Well, like I was telling you, so back in the day, how guys used to do it that I know is that there was a guy at the door. So you have a guy, he relieves the ladies of their phones, handbags, things like that at the door. So before they even come in.
Snatches them out.
No. We all understand
just
what happened.
Just the ladies
here.
Or everybody?
No. The ladies. No, I mean, if you're the guys and the ladies are coming for your needs, why do you need to be relieved? It's the ladies that are their cell phones and handbags. Ladies, if you could sign here, and then also there's a bowl, you can collect your phone on the way out.
No. Everybody's cell phone stays at the door. Why are the guys allowed to take videos and the girls not?
Look, there's a bevy of ladies that want to come in. If you want to come, stop making the rules.
You want a cabinet minister?
Yeah.
You do what you have to do.
Yeah. This is not the place for you, sister. Nothing personal.
Sure.
I'm just telling you how it works. I'm not saying I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hate the play. I hate the game.
Here's an interesting point being made by Audrey. She says, Malusi claims conspiracy so that he doesn't have to pay for the divorce if she's convicted. That's interesting. So maybe he had some legal advice beforehand. And then she says, secondly, surely a union leader should make less than a public servant. Quite frankly, would you join a union where the staff are driving 2 million rand cars?
Some might say in South Africa that's the same thing. The line is very blurred between union leader, parliament, president.
But if you are a union member and you see your leader driving around in a 2 million rand car, it can't make you feel like they're actually spending that union money that you pay every month. They're not spending it in the right places.
Unions are the biggest rackets. Biggest records in this country. Can you imagine? Like, unions are collecting monthly union fees from hundreds of thousands of members. Hundreds of thousands. And that fee gets collected before the salary comes to you.
It's a stock fill the union members don't know that they're in. Because they're raising money for the management. That's what it is.
The unions are a racket.
It's as good a job as being a priest in South Africa, being the head of a union. You've got sheltered employment with unlimited access to people's money.
Yeah. Unlimited. Same WhatsApp group.
It's as Same good. There's no better business model. If you can get yourself the top of a union in South Africa, or naturally, if you can, the Pentecostal Saved Church yeah. of
Let's
the
union
of Double Heels of Rivonia Corner Church. If you can
and
get your
then when you're in that position, when you're in that position, you can
it's for life.
You can also take other people's money and you can invest it into your own schemes and share portfolio, and you never have to explain yourself.
Oh,
is that you, Sia, starting to
I think
your mind?
I need to strategize my career. I need to change what I'm doing.
People are taking pictures of the G-Wagon, the Gigaba. Well, it's not the Gigaba G-Wagon. It's the Siaya G-Wagon, and they're saying that is a beautiful black diamond finish.
In the video that I saw. Okay.
Well played. Well
it took
played.
Me a moment, but I'm there. Yeah.
Touche.
Was anyone, if you saw the video of the car, was anyone able to identify who took the video? Because I was trying to squint at the reflection at who the man is. I don't just want to say it's Minister Kikab.
No. No.
Okay, no, so it doesn't add to the story.
Listen here, if Twitter didn't tell you who took that video, yeah. it's unimportant.
Because trust me, there is someone on Twitter who's got zero to do who has been looking at every aspect of this. Trust me.
Who's paused every frame of that video and like enlarged it. It's the reflection.
I didn't usually do this, but Tato, who often messages us during the show, has become an uncle today. Congratulations to Tato and to the family. Baby Kumo, who was born.
Oh,
very nice.
Beautiful name. Mm.
Happy!
Happy!
Very, it's very like nice. The best Tato. Job in the world. You get the perks of having a little one in your life, but lack of responsibility as well.
And it costs a lot less than having the child.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know what? I've got to say, like yesterday on Sia's point, is that I love being an uncle. My two little nephews are the cutest kids, and they're starting to talk. You know, like when a child is, and I mean, they've both been talking for a long time, but the eldest one is now six, talks like an authority on things. You know, like, you know when the facial expressions really back up what he's saying? And he knows stuff, hey? He was telling me about Chelsea. Bulelo, you could probably have more meaningful conversations with him than I could because I know nothing about football. But he was telling me about Chelsea losing the cup and how it's not the worst thing, but he's pretty much convinced that that referee was an Arsenal supporter.
He's correct. Damn correct. You've raised a good one. Who's it, your brother's
My
cup
brother's kid, yeah. He's raised him well. Yeah.
No, he has, yeah.
So he says to me, but seriously, he looks at me and he goes, you know, there's this friend of mine, I think his name is Matthew or whatever. My friend Matthew at school is not going to stop talking about Arsenal winning. He's an Arsenal supporter. I'm just going to avoid him at school when we get back to school.
Very serious.
Very serious. Very serious. No, that's real.
So someone is saying that the Hawks are actually like our politician's personal ADT. That's from Pumlan. Malusi is apparently trending on Pornhub again, thanks to this.
We will never let them forget that moment.
So embarrassing. And Graham says, oh my God, with this consent conversation, it's making me laugh. I have some stories from here in Japan where the girl will say, no, no, which you then apologize to which she goes, try harder. It's a massive, massive mood killer. He says it's massive as a mood killer, and it's very confusing for us South Africans. Sure, those Japanese girls have got you wrapped around their finger, Graham. Nice.
Konnichiwa. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So no-no is actually go-go, really. So yeah. It's pretty confusing.
That's it.
Let me no-no before you go-go.
And Vinny saying, I've never been a member of any union. I negotiate my own shit with companies I have problems with. Unions are the biggest thieves and shit stirrers in the country. That's from Vinny. Hey, guys, Sispumi, that serial podcast was great. Thank you for the suggestion. Remember you suggested the new cereal?
Yeah, that podcast, y'all.
Yeah, very good. Very, very good. All right, couple of things that we need to get to this morning. Bulelo, who have you got on Cliff Central Sport today?
80s co-host Paulo Dias. He's going to talk about his heathen football team, Manchester United. We'll review their season with him. And then, yeah, so that'll be great. 7:30 tonight. Tomorrow, we've got a really interesting one. So for people that are interested in how things get valued. So you may hear often it's $5 billion for this team. How does that happen? How do you value a team?
I want to know how they decide the price of a player.
Aha. So then join us on Cliff Central Sport on YouTube tomorrow night, because the guys who do it globally, Brand Finance, we will be interviewing Declan Ahern. Who is one of the guys that does that. So we're really looking forward to that convo, and hopefully that's something educational for everyone.
You need to go along and subscribe to be a member of this Cliff Central Sport crew. And Bulelo is growing it week by week, talking to really interesting people from all over the world. If you're a sports fan, like my nephew is, you need to be on the Cliff Central Sport YouTube. So go along, look it up, and join today.
Mm. Yeah, boy.
Come on, the Reds.
Right.
Good start.
Pumi, I know you have been very cynical about Women's Month and Women's Day because you think that a lot of this is just to assuage the guilt of officials who do very little else other than say Women's Month, Women's Day. But one thing you are excited about is that you're not going to have to attend any women's lunches this month. Is that true?
Not a one.
Because
if ever
COVID.
You were looking for a COVID silver lining, guys, a COVID silver lining, not a one.
You don't like you this.
All the Zoom, of course, there are going to be lots of Zoom. I've already received the shattering the glass ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
Leading in heels.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's worse than new normal. I haven't heard that one, leading in heels. That's I'm sorry to say it. I thought I could bite my tongue. That's worse than new normal. Mm. Leading in heels, huh?
That's so true. So bad. It is so true. Well,
oh, my gracious.
Can we talk about...
The Zoom links are coming, but I don't have... You see, that's the nice thing about a Zoom link, right? No one will know that you're not there.
That's true. Don't switch on your camera.
That's it.
So quickly, before we get to Reino De Beer from the Liberty Fighters Network, because we're going to have a lot of things to talk to him about, can we just address Ellen DeGeneres? Because this is a gigaba-sized shitstorm that's breaking out in Hollywood. Apparently, Ellen DeGeneres is a very mean person in real life. And people are starting to come out of the woodwork. In fact, there was one guy who even offered to donate $2 per admission or confession or story about what a bitch Ellen is to some food bank in LA. And he had to hand over like a couple of $100 because people were just giving him stories about what a terrible person Ellen DeGeneres is. I didn't know this. I always thought Ellen was one of the nice people in Hollywood. Everyone went on her show because she was so friendly.
She dances with everybody.
She dances with them. She seems like a sweet person. Well... She's got a smoking hot wife. Turns out that this Ellen is a first-class bitch on wheels. And people are starting to come out with stories. Sia, you know all about this. Go on.
Wait, I just want to know before you start. Is it other famous people saying this? Or is it just go smoke? Okay.
Other famous Sia, people and staff on the show. And go on, Sia. You give us the dirt.
Spill the tea.
So who would have thought that we would reach a point in our society when Ellen would be quarter to being cancelled? Mm. So all of this started a couple of months ago when it just seemed like one random comedian was just sounding bitter by saying that she worked at a restaurant where she was a waiter. She was serving Ellen and her wife. And she had worked like this long shift and she was just about to get off and her nail polish had chipped and it hadn't even gotten into the food or anything. But supposedly Ellen complained about that. And then like over the past couple of months, there've been these loan incidences here and there popping up. Someone who worked on her staff a few months ago as well said that Ellen, hates gum and so doesn't want anyone chewing gum on the set, and that she leaves breath mints just outside her office door, so if you come in you need to have fresh breath. And like,
but that's all great.
Which is
what's
a
wrong with
reasonable
that?
Thing to ask.
Yeah, both of those are great. Gum
I'm
is disgusting.
I'm starting that policy as soon as we get back to the studio.
Yeah. No, gum is revolting. You can also say, don't come here with your morning breath into my office. I'm rich.
I'm
bloody rich, man.
You can also say it's a little extreme, though, when there's certain foods that Ellen allegedly doesn't like. And so if you've had that for lunch, you'd have to eat it off set. That is not coming onto her set, whatnot, whatnot. Well, now it's really cemented into this serious investigation that is being done onto her show. Yeah. There are different reports that are being looked at with the words such as toxic and sexist and racist workplace. That is the culture that is being described at the Ellen DeGeneres show. Warner Brothers, which owns the Ellen DeGeneres show, is still defending Ellen, saying this is more reports on her producers and not Ellen specifically. They say that her producers are under investigations because of alleged behaviors, but these staffers who are putting together these reports are saying, nah, the buck stops with Ellen. And so, of course, you would have known what was happening in all of this. And the cherry on top is when all of these talk shows were going off and recording virtually or from the host homes, you know, Trevor Noah was one of the first who compensated his staff from his own pocket out of, you know, staff being laid off or having to take cuts. Ellen did not pay any of her staff. Better yet, she hired a separate production company to do her show from home because she allegedly didn't want these randoms that she worked with to come into her home. So people are just like, I have to be honest as well. I am shocked to hear that Ellen is maybe not the nicest of people.
Well, I support three of the things you've said. I stopped a friend of mine coming to, and I'm not comparing myself to Ellen, who has killed herself to have an incredible career, by the way. I'm just saying, the food thing, she's spot on. I stopped somebody who I knew. I've known them for over 15 years, but she loves snook. I said, don't ever come here if you're going to bring snook to my house or eat it at my house. Don't come to my house. And we had a big fight about it. So I'm with Ellen there. I don't know what people are crying about.
It's her set. She can make rules. She's the boss.
Stop cooking disgusting smelling food in my house and bringing snook. So Ellen,
and for now, look, you know, sexual harassment is very serious. But there have been a couple of cases, but all of it hasn't really been substantiated. And these are by producers who've allegedly sexually harassed staff, not Ellen.
But it's not Ellen throwing them under the bus, is she?
No. She hasn't said anything. Portia, her wife, has started this I Stand With Ellen cause and campaign. But look, the show in itself is on hiatus right now. There are rumors that she might cancel the show. There are rumors that she might just see off the next season and that James Corden will replace her. So we live to see another day and we wait.
No. God, he's awful.
Awful. I mean, Ellen's show is awful itself. Now you got to bring in that guy.
Already sounding like some people that I saw on Twitter who live and work in LA. So there was this New York Post article that alleged that James Corden might be taking over Ellen, and then there's this whole group that started saying, oh, so replace one not nice person with another not nice person. So now there's
since when did these people have to be nice people? I mean, you could be really entertaining.
Thank you.
You can be tremendously entertaining and be a total asshole. In fact, I would watch that more than I don't watch daytime TVs. I could give a damn about Ellen, but I do like the fact that Hollywood is turning on its own. This is hilarious. It's very, very funny to see how everybody in Hollywood is expecting everyone else to be so pure. You know, everyone has to be above reproach. This is going to end. We're going to end up with no people on television because none of them will be good enough to have a show, according to the mob.
Yeah, because, you know, Elon must make people furious. Whether this is true or not, whatever, people must judge and the law must take its course. But
sure.
Not only is she unbelievably successful, is she has a partner that looks like your partner never will. That must make people so mad.
Yes.
That must make people so mad. So, Elon, good for you, sister. Don't let them bring snook to your house.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's talk to Reino De Beer. I actually wanted to have Reino on my TV show, and we had such huge technical difficulties just getting to hear each other that I said to him eventually, listen, dude, let's just talk on the radio show, because you've got important work that you guys are doing. The Liberty Fighters Network is the organization to which Reino belongs and is president, and you are the guy behind the court victory, which had the entire country talking. It took the state on over COVID-19 regulations, and the judge found them unconstitutional and actually handed victory to the Liberty Fighters Network. So first of all, Reino, welcome, and where are we in terms of the law at the moment?
Thank you very much, Gareth.
Sure.
Where we are currently is that we are now stuck in the Supreme Court of Appeal.
Mm-hmm.
With this whole matter. Luckily, we have utilized a very special weapon. It's called the Section 18(3) application, which basically means that we have lodged a special application in the High Court, again, before the same judge who granted the original order,
mm-hmm.
to request permission that the order that was made on the 2nd of June must come into operation immediately pending the appeal. So we just simply waiting for the for Justice Davis.
Have you guys got a date for the Supreme Court of Appeal?
We're waiting for Justice Davis.
Because surely these things are urgent. So, you know, we're under lockdown at the moment. The whole purpose of your application was to get urgency. And surely the SCA need to prioritize this and put it on the roll immediately.
Oh, definitely. But sadly, we are waiting for Justice Davis to provide us with a court date for this new application that mm-hmm. we have in front of him. But unfortunately, the Supreme Court of Appeal rules doesn't make provision for urgency.
Hmm.
The state literally has got 3 months to prepare the documentation. Well, so this application that we've got is the only chance that we have got now to get rid of this lockdown. And so we're putting all our effort.
Reino, I think that you've got a lot of sympathy from people in South Africa, because we all have been sitting under level 3 for God knows how long now. It's almost 3 months. And there seems to be no end in sight. Government are really not in a hurry to move us on to level 2. Nkosi Sana Dlamini Zuma is fighting with you guys about this. She's obviously appealed, and that's why it's gone to the SCA. But are there grounds? I mean, she says that you have no right to challenge the authority of the NCCC under the National Disaster Act or whatever it is. Does she have grounds to argue with a judge's decision that this is unconstitutional?
Well, surely she believes that she has got that. Right, but all the everything is going against the rationality of these regulations.
Mm.
It's totally, it does not make sense. What the judge have identified and on the hearing on the that was way back in on 28th of May, the judge asked a couple of questions to the advocate for Dlamini Zuma, and he couldn't answer any one of those. One of those questions were, for example, that you may not go and visit your grandfather on his deathbed,
mm.
but when he dies, 50 people may go to his funeral.
Right.
So he couldn't answer anything. Then he had the other question to say that you may take your children to a park, but you may not die there. So what's the rationality? Now we've even got the situation whereby a minibus taxi can be fully occupied,
mm-hmm.
With 100% capacity, going on a trip for 200 kilometers to a funeral. But at the funeral, there may only be 50 people with social distancing between
yeah.
them.
Look, I mean, I think all of these things make no sense at all. And in fact, on the show that you were meant to be on, I think Dalim Pofu said very unequivocally that he thinks that they're rubbish. He's obviously the former chairperson of the EFF, and they've actually been people who've been at the forefront of trying to fight for lockdown to continue longer. He himself said these things are capricious and absurd. And there are many people in South Africa who look at a number of these regulations and go, look, if you're really trying to protect us, then explain this, explain that. And they don't have an explanation. Having said that, I want to be devil's advocate for a second.
Yes.
We are trying to keep people safe. We're trying to keep people healthy. Everybody now knows someone who has COVID or someone who has been very ill. And government can't do nothing, Reyno. So surely you're a little sympathetic to the fact that perhaps the NCCC does have some authority to make regulations that change the lives of South Africans, hopefully in a positive way, that we can spread less of this disease. I mean, you're not saying that the government has no authority and that government shouldn't be doing what governments all over the world have tried to do by protecting people. You're just saying some of these laws make no sense. We have to get rid of the regulations which are making people's lives untenable.
That's 100% correct. What we have identified in court while was arguing is that we are sitting here with a suspected disease that were only discovered or named on the 11th of February. So we've argued and said that there's a possibility that this disease could have been with us for many years already. So we are not busy with a rate of infection, but actually a rate of detection, which are two different phrases. That, and it, I've seen this a nice video on YouTube now the other day where this guy was wearing or carrying a bucket full of marbles or something, and he dropped it, and he was trying to get everything together. And that is actually what we are sitting with now. This coronavirus has gone out of control at this stage.
Yep.
Everyone will have coronavirus or this dreadful, hopefully not the disease, but the virus itself at some point, or already had it and they don't even know.
Yes.
So we are sitting with international statistics that there's a 99.8% on this. And as we're trying to and what we've said in court the day in argument is that we are sitting with 2018 statistics, true factual statistics. 301,000 people got TB. 63,000 people died that same year because of TB. Now, how do you justify comparing TB with something like COVID-19 at this stage? It does not make sense. And
you don't have to convince all of us. I think we're mostly on your side on this because we all crave our liberties being returned to us. But we are aware, and again, I'm just bringing in the alternative argument here because we can't seem to be hell for leather about the one side without taking due consideration for the fact that people are concerned for their health. Pumi, you want to ask something?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that the various regulations have been ventilated. And for me, I think if we were to be solutions-based, what does a win look like for you? What do you want to see in our society, in our community, for you to feel satisfied that on the one hand, the government has taken enough and due precaution, and on the other hand, that people have what you call liberty?
Well, we are what we believe is that we should treat this disease. Let me just go back. The Pakistani Supreme Court ruled during May that they do acknowledge that there is a disease, but that disease should not take preference above any others that they are in Pakistan. HIV, tuberculosis, et cetera, et cetera. And that is why the Pakistani Supreme Court stopped their lockdown then. And that is why we should also have the same approach to say that we cannot, we've submitted a well-known report by Panda, where it indicates that for each one life that the government is trying to preserve at this stage, there are actually 30 lives that are taken by this lockdown itself. And those are factual scientific calculations that were made. So I don't think that the means justify the ends at this stage. And the judge also said that specifically.
You know, in his I'm quite amused by the fact that it has to be NGOs like you guys that are brave enough to take the government on here. We don't see any bravery from the corporations. Suddenly, we're starting to see a little bit of action from tobacco and from liquor, which I commend them for, because this has ruined their businesses. I don't see very much from the banks, but then the banks are mostly craven, and they will do whatever they can to preserve their relationships with government. I don't see a lot of individuals in society who are powerful enough to take court action like you guys have. And as much as there may be people who disagree with you, I think part of living in a free society is that organizations like yours need to be able to hold the government responsible. Most of us are just taking footstoots, whatever the government give us as rules, and adapting our lives accordingly, even if it's to our detriment. People are losing jobs. People can't send their kids to school. People can't make provisions for their own parents or their own grandparents. You can't go to a funeral if you're more than 50 people. Some people have died alone in hospital. These have been very, very difficult times for a lot of people. And I just have to say, Reyno, as much as you get a lot of heat from people who seem to be towing the government line on this, it is to me a matter of some pride that we have NGOs in this country like you guys. I've never heard of you before, this court case. And the fact that you've gone out there and you've taken on the might of government is commendable. Am I wrong? I mean, this is great. Pumi, we live in a free country. I think it's terrific.
I do, however, want to come back and say, Reno, I don't believe you fully answered my question. So you told me about what happened in Pakistan. Yeah. My question is, what would you like to see here?
Yeah, what's the best case scenario for you?
What is it for you that you want to see happen here? So I understand what happened in Pakistan.
Yeah, okay. No, but the same principle applies in South Africa as well. We've gotten used to very serious diseases like HIV/AIDS. People who have got the HIV/AIDS, they already know that they need to protect themselves from getting other diseases. Mm. So we should be responsible citizens that the moment when you feel sick, isolate yourself, go back home, stay in bed for a couple of days before you go out again. We've actually did that before. It's not that we haven't been trained of trying to prevent other diseases from being spread. I think the government has treated us like children, with especially, yes, sorry.
I just want to ask a question. We were speaking earlier about consent, and the HIV incident, right, that we speak about, also has a high level of consent. So, in order for me to get infected with HIV, there is a consensual transaction that needs to happen between myself and the next person, because it involves an incredibly intimate experience. However, with this situation, there is no consensual exposure for it. We have seen incidences right now, even with the lockdown, even with all of the regulations in place, where an individual who has been tested, who is waiting for their results, and which then come back positive, has gone on to be in a classroom with students, has gone on to be in the workplace with, even though they knew at that time, they have not given any of the people that they have exposed the opportunity to consent. That's problematic. So HIV, you have to consent. I have to have sex with you before you would infect me.
Yeah,
but just being in the same space with me
doesn't
allow me the opportunity to consent.
Hmm.
Yes, but let's go back to... We know by now that COVID-19 has got similar symptoms and effects like the normal flu.
Yeah.
We've been living with flu for all our lives. We always know that you've got a risk, especially during winter time, to be infected with the influenza. So we came to accept that. And what has happened with, for example, swine flu, that was a crisis earlier this past decade. It has become part of our lives now. And similarly, the COVID-19 will become part of our lives eventually. We will get treatment for that, proper treatment. We will most probably get a vaccine if everything works out.
I just want to jump in here because I also think that we must remember what the purpose of lockdown was, what we agreed to in our social compact that the president keeps going on about. We agreed that we would all go into lockdown in order to help make sure that the health service was ready to accommodate us. And we did not agree that we would go into an interminable lockdown so that we could try and prevent person-to-person transmission. That was never the goal. We know that this thing is extremely virulent. And as Pumi says, it doesn't require consent. It just spreads in the air some of the time. So you can choose to stay at home and lock down and sacrifice everything in your life if you do prioritize your health. But also, you should have the right to decide that you want to go out and open your business. And it's not government. Definitely. Government's not going to protect you from a disease. They've never managed to do that in the history of humanity. So I think it's important here that we have these challenges brought. And again, I'm going to reiterate, I think that it's great that you had the courage to take on the minister and the NCCC. They obviously do not like that at all. And while I am sympathetic to them trying to do what governments all over the world have tried to do, governments cannot prevent a disease from spreading. All we can do is do what we've already tried to do by ridding the healthcare system, by making sure that there are facilities available for those who are very ill, and then take our chances with this disease, because it's not going away. And we don't have a vaccine. And even if we do develop a vaccine, it's going to be a year away.
100% correct. And very importantly, that we have also mentioned in our court case, is that the government did have the option of going for the International Health Regulations Act of 1974. And if we have opted to include the World Health Organization, strangely enough, those regulations gave South Africa time, all state parties, time until 2010 to come up with putting in place everything that they need for any disease to be handled. So it means that our government has physically defied international law by not having made ourselves ready by 2010 already for a disease that could have been expected. So now at 199, they woke up on the 15th of March and suddenly they wanted to get everything in place. But now it's 4 months into lockdown already.
Yeah.
People are busy dying of starvation. Mm. People can't properly operate. Even if businesses are open, they don't have clients because they are too scared to come out. And not scared as such of the disease. They are scared of being arrested for maybe contravening one of these regulations. That is the problem we are sitting with. No. People have a more fear at this stage of being arrested than actually having a fear of contracting any disease at this stage.
I'm not sure if you can make a blanket statement like that. Who are these people that are more afraid of being arrested? But I've just been skimming through the Judge Davis's judgment, and because we're having the conversation. Reyna, if you could just explain to me, because I see that it's not the entire lockdown that Judge Davis has ruled against, but aspects of it. Can you talk me through which aspects it is that Judge Davis actually had a problem with?
Okay. The aspects were, he had a blanket. On the 2nd of June, he basically had a blanket invalidity of these lockdown regulations to say that it does not make any sense. Mm-hmm. So he said that government has got 14 business days to rectify everything, to bring it in line with the Constitution, and then come back to court and report back to court on what they have done. So they have opted 5 days in that period to lodge an appeal. But the regulations that he excluded were actually regulations that were obvious human rights abuses, like, for instance, the right to have business, the right to movement, the right of having gatherings and protests, the right to even the criminalization of these regulations. He also found to be unconstitutional that people are criminally prosecuted for contravening these lockdown regulations, that he was obviously of the view that that was an obvious unconstitutionality. So those were the things that he excluded, the obvious ones. The ones that basically included is the way the contact, COVID-19 contact management is handled, and the basics around that. Those were actually the ones that's included in the appeal. But all the others, how I explain it is that if you open the Bill of Rights in the Constitution and you you close your eyes and you pinpoint with a finger somewhere in the Bill of Rights, those rights that you are pinpointing to, those are actually the ones that were excluded from the appeal.
When does this new application go to Judge Davis?
We are waiting for his directives.
Okay.
We've sent a letter to the state attorney's office last night, giving them time until Wednesday to file their answering affidavit. Otherwise, on Thursday, we will definitely approach the office of the judge to request that the matter proceed in default. Government already had now today's 13 days to have filed the answering affidavit, and they have not done so. So we are saying that they are actually wasting time then.
Well, all I can say is, again, civil society have to have a mouthpiece. You guys have stepped up to the plate, which I commend you for. I hope that we have some kind of clarity, because we cannot stay in limbo forever. And I think that governments are slowly starting to lose more and more public support as this lockdown just interminably rolls on, with no seeming exit strategy from their side. So very good to have you on the show this morning. And Reyna, we'll talk again soon, I'm sure. In the meantime, look after yourself.
Thank you very much. Okay. Have a nice day.
There we go. There's Reyna De Beer from the Liberty Fighters Network. You know, whether you agree or disagree, how do you take on government if you do disagree? And
you know, yeah.
You want to say,
so how do you take on government? Yeah, I'm saying, you know, you do say, how do you take on government? And what's really encouraging to see is the fight being taken to government, but also the fact that we have the opportunity to do that in as a matter of legal recourse, right? Because a friend and I were having this conversation that Cyril Ramaphosa now has three things in common with P.W. Botha.
Yes. Tell us what those three things are.
So one, he sent soldiers into the townships. We spoke about this when he sent soldiers out into the Western Cape.
Yes.
Two, he's declared a state of emergency. And three, he's gone to the IMF to borrow money.
I like that.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, me and my friends are talking about what happened on The Real Housewives this week. You and your friends are having
That's a very good history lesson from Pumi. See, that's why we have Pumi here, for many other reasons too, but this is a good one. And it's not just to talk about the gigabas and their marital upsets. It's to give us a reminder of exactly what good and bad is actually going on around us. Okay, everybody, that's all we got time for this morning. Thanks for joining us. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early at 6 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. Stick around for lots of good podcasts. And if you go to our website, you will find even more stuff that will keep you entertained, amused, inspired, informed, empowered. All of it on cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.